Actually impacted my life as a person. Instructions, corrections in righteousness. I have found every moment I have spent with him life transforming, destiny releasing, encouraging, motivating, instructing. I am therefore with great joy, I would like you to stand on your feet and give a prophet, a teacher, an author and a father, a great God bless your hand clap as it comes up to share the word, Bishop David Oyedepo.
Hallelujah. Please shall we be seated. In this second segment, I'll be addressing the subject, the ultimate price or the ultimate cost of leadership. And I'll use just three scriptural platforms for this discussion. Luke 14, 28 to 30. Which of you intending to build a tower will not first sit down and count the cost if he has enough, or else he will start building and he will not be able to complete, and everybody passing by will be laughing him to scorn? This man began to build and could not finish it. So every tower carries a towerly cost. There are houses and there are houses. But every one of us has a towerly destiny in redemption, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. So you have a towerly destiny, but not actualizable without a towerly cost. Then I saw a woman came to lobby Jesus one day. They call her Mary, the mother of James and John, and said, "Master," the Bible said they came worshiping Jesus. "Just this worship today looks different. What is the matter?" He said, "Master, I pray thee that you will make one of my sons to stand on your right and the other one on your left in thy kingdom." Jesus said, "You don't know what you are asking." They don't pray into leadership. They pay into it. "Can ye drink?" Then he turned to the two boys who came with their mother to lobby Jesus. "Can ye drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized?" They don't know the meaning. They say, "Yeah, Lord." Jesus said, "Okay, indeed, you will drink that cup and you will receive that baptism. But whosoever drink the greatest cup and have the deepest baptism will be the one to whom my father will give." So it's a race, it's not a prayer. It's a race, it's not just a prayer. Well, that shows there is a cup to drink and there's a baptism to receive in determining your leadership rating. A cup to drink and a baptism to receive. Now, what is this baptism? Let's go. Luke 12, 49 and 50. "I have come to set fire on the earth," Jesus said, "and what will I if it be already kindled?" He said, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened until it be accomplished?" How am I straitened until it be accomplished? Leadership will always stretch its beneficiaries. That stretch is what I've come to define in this second segment, no matter how brief that will be. That stretch is called sacrifice. What is it? You'll never find a star in the field of sports without a well-defined track of sacrifice. Never. There is no star without a scar, and the scar of every star is sacrifice. 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 I have a lovely story here of a young man by name Kim Woo Chung, the founder of Daewoo Corporation. And his story is so fascinating that within 30 years, from a capital of $10,000, he built one of the largest corporations. By 1997, Daewoo Corporation was rated higher than Coca-Cola, than IBM, with turnover of over $81 billion in the year. It began only with $10,000, and in 30 years, erupted into a major conglomerate with over 3,500 products on their manufacturing line, including aircraft spare parts. A story is a story of sacrifice. He never took a vacation for 30 years. What was that? Trying to be successful without pouring yourself into something is like trying to pluck a star from the sky. That's his statement. Now, I said about 7 years before I started my own business, I worked for a company run by a distant relative. Although I was part of the family, I was still a regular wage earner, yet I did my work as though I were the owner of the company. Someone hearing that? I did not wait for others, and I always took the initiative myself to seek out work to do. I was never late to work. And never took a day off because of the inexpressible joy I derive from accomplishment. I still work as hard today. If a businessman handles his or her work spontaneously and takes a hobby-like joy in it, then the business will gradually grow and it's fast. Facilities will expand. The same thing happens with a student who takes a hobby-like joy in study. The student's marks and standing will improve, and he or she will wind up a prize winner. If you do not believe me, just give it a try. Just give it a try. I think it is sad for human beings who are interrelated with everything else in this world to consider work simply as a means to keep their stomachs full. It is even sadder to think that people in the prime of life who should be filled with great dreams, vitality, and ambition should feel that work is a nuisance. It's a great insult to work ethic to think of work, sweat, and effort only in terms of monetary results, when you should be thinking of it in terms of accomplishment, fulfillment, personal development, and contribution to society. 30 years brought the best out of his endeavor. He's a believer. His biography is captured in a book, All Streets Paved with Gold. All great leaders in both biblical and contemporary history were raised from the altars of sacrifice. Ordinary investment will yield ordinary dividends. Only extraordinary investment will yield extraordinary dividend. Over 2/3 of the human race still acknowledge the leadership of Jesus Christ today by reason of his sacrifice and the impact and effect of that sacrifice. It's a combination, therefore, of the cup of wisdom and the baptism of sacrifice that makes a great leader. The cup of wisdom and the baptism of sacrifice, that is the mystery behind the making of great leaders. The cup of wisdom and the baptism of sacrifice. The cup of wisdom and the baptism of sacrifice. That is the mystery behind the making of great leaders. That is the mystery behind the making of great leaders. Check through biblical history and you see some of these great leaders as they emerge. Think of Abraham, the father of faith. How did he become the father of faith? By passing the test of the sacrifice of his only son, Isaac. Hello. Until you pass the test of sacrifice, you never emerge a great leader. Think of Moses. He fled from the face of Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 2 and was asked to go back to Egypt. That was a suicidal mission. That was a suicidal mission. Somebody who fled for asylum was now walking back into the mouth of a lion. That was sacrifice. Imagine the greatest leader of that era had the deepest revelation ever. No one was there when God created man. God confided in Moses the details of creation. It's indisputable. He was born on the altar of sacrifice. Think of Joseph. He would have mellowed in the house of Potiphar and began to enjoy the pleasures of sin at the expense of his glorious destiny. But there he was, kept in the prison for the number of years he was there. And the mighty leader that he became, he sent a man before them, even Joseph. He became the pillar of rescue for a generation of Israel. Leadership in all ages has always emerged from the altar of sacrifice. You never get out of life more than what you are willing to put into it. The reason why it's difficult to walk in the footsteps of giants is because every step of a giant is a long jump for a toddler. Every step of a giant is a long jump for a toddler. But you have to do the jump if you must get there. Think of Nehemiah. He took his life in his hand. And there confronted the king. Why are you sad? In those days when you are sad, you are dead. Because the authorities then don't have no intelligence. So anytime you pose to Fran, they see you as getting into rebellion against the king. And you are killed. And the king now said to Nehemiah, why are you sad? And Nehemiah pointed to him, I perceive. Why should I not be sad? When the place of my father's sepulchre is burnt. Burnt down. And the walls are broken down. You did it. That means kill me. If you want. Nehemiah became the leader that he was. From the altar of sacrifice. He was willing to die. Than to what the humiliation continued. Is someone hearing what I'm talking about? Think of David. He went for Goliath. Everybody gave him up to die. But he came back to reign. Sacrifice. Think of Esther. If I perish, I perish. That's where how she earned her place in history. If I perish, I perish. Sacrifice was behind the making of Esther. Where it is? What is sacrifice? Going the extra mile in a cause you believe in. Making an extraordinary investment towards a goal you have vowed to reach. Daniel became the great through the crucible of sacrifice. You don't talk to God for 3 days, pray only to the king. He opened his windows. Let me die the death of the righteous. And brought a spiritual hurricane to the land. The king said, anyone who will not serve the king of, I mean, the Lord, the God of Daniel should be put to death. Routed all the devils. And gave him his place in history. All this point to the fact that the quality of your sacrifice will determine the quality of your leadership rating in your field. Check it. We had in my country a legal practitioner of great renown. This man represented the legal practice as a personality, an institution. In fact, they would call him in their parlance, Timmy the Law. Now, you never find him in a function. From the chambers to the house, to the library, from the library, his library, to the court, in cycle. You can't make the top of the list in your field without paying the top of the price to get there. Nelson Mandela, one of the greatest names in Africa, in the political arena, or clearly the greatest name, was 27 years incarcerated. Yet he never lost his grip of the redemption of the South African nation. Got it. He's the most respected African today in the political arena on the planet Earth. He paid a 27-year price for it of incarceration. Very ugly experiences if you read his story. I think it's important for us to know that there is no free lunch in life. You can't eat your cake and still have it. You cannot make omelets without breaking eggs. If you're interested in value, then be ready for the price. Because value is essentially a function of cost. There are many cars in the car shops. How much you are willing to pay will determine the value of car you are willing to carry out. Think of Martin Luther, for instance. Martin Luther King Jr. He fought and fought and fought until he paid the ultimate price of death. But see the result of that sacrifice. Barack Obama is president of the United States of America today. It was a battle he won in death. Today there is Martin Luther King Jr. Day in America. Oh, he had the cup of wisdom. At the age of 15, he was in the university. At the age of 19, he was in seminary. He was loaded. The cup was there, but the sacrifice went with it. He went through all kinds of stress in ensuring that emancipation. Today it is done. Who could have imagined that the black American will ever emerge president of the United States? But we have all seen it. Martin Luther in the 14th century fought the battle for the Reformation and won it. Wrote 98 theses, the cup of wisdom. How many? 98 theses that was pasted in the church. And that erupted some certain things in the setting. And that birthed the Protestant movement, of which we are all beneficiaries today. Sacrifice. The ones who founded the healing movement went to jail several times for practicing medicine without license. You remember this story? Now you pray easily for the sick anywhere, and then everybody's clapping and they're sharing testimonies. Leadership in every field demands sacrifice as its ultimate prize. Those that top the list pay the utmost price. Everyone that tops the list in any field pays the ultimate price. And that is the price of sacrifice. That is the price of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice is broken down in many, many lives. It has to be repaired. When the word of the Lord came to the king Asa, the Bible said he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And then the covenant was reenacted. Until the altar of sacrifice is repaired, the covenant of leadership cannot be actualized. It's so important. It is going the extra mile that makes the extraordinary man. It's so vital. It's paying the extraordinary price that makes the extraordinary man. It's so crucial. You never find anyone topping the list in any field who wanders about on the street. There are men and women who are purpose-driven and addicted to reaching their goal that nothing seems to interest them. The good news today is that you don't have to be in politics to be a leader. Just discover your field and walk your field with all you've got, and the leader in you will emerge. And walk your field with all you've got, and the leader in you will emerge. Sacrifice is the key to stardom. We had one time an NBA basketball player, you know, who happened to be a Nigerian. He was then in the US. And then he had a challenge one of the seasons. They discovered he had limitations of getting the basket at a particular range. So he was fast losing his place because they kept him outside that range. so you will not get the basket anymore. So the break between one season and the other, he engaged a coach that put him on a 500 throws per day. How many? 500 throws per day within the range of his problem. 500 throws. You know 500? Under the drilling of a coach. He must make 500 from that range per day. Not true. 500 he must make. And he did that for about 6 months. What's that? Sacrifice. You pay the coach, he stretches you to get the basket. That's the only way to retain your place in the league. 500 times per day. So by the next season, the star in him has come alive. So all those who thought he still had that problem messed up. That was the year that his star shined most. It's paying a special price that will give you your special place in your field. Come and say, pay that special price. When you are willing to pay the special price, you will attain to your special place in your field. There's a man many years ago by the name Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was a great ministry, and this man read and read that his eyeballs almost came out. Jonathan Edwards wasn't just a preacher. He writes what he will teach. He reads it. He reads his teachings. And he did one particular teaching that is titled "A Sinner in the Hand of an Angry God." While reading that thesis to the congregation, people were wailing and holding their chairs as if the earth will open and turn into hell. There was so much force in the reading of his discoveries by reason of the depth he was coming from. He was reading the extra page to open to the next phase of his life. There is nothing you get without paying the required price for it. So it's not enough to be a reader. It's not enough to be a learner. Know that we are all in a race. It's important to read beyond the ordinary and to learn beyond the normal so you can rise above your equals. Some other fellows could have started their business with $50,000 the same time that Chung started his own, but banged it in 2 years, some up to 10 years, and are out of business, has to go and look for a job somewhere else because they are not willing to pay the price that makes it work. They are not willing to pay the price that makes it work. Nothing ever rises on its own. People, things only fall on their own. Nothing will go up on its own, but anything will fall on its own. In the same way, nothing works on its own. Things are only made to work if they must work. So no one excels without paying the price for excellence. Hard reading, hard learning, hard working, and to every extent as it may be required in getting your results. Never forget the story of that young man,
determination, dedication, discipline, and sacrifice. And he emerged a 3-gold medalist at the Berlin Olympics of 1923. Sacrifice. It's a necessary price, and the last phase of it is walking the extra mile. You walk, and then you walk the extra mile, and then you attain to that extraordinary place in your field. Well, as I conclude this morning, the top is open and free, but everyone has to make his way to get there. When you lift up your hand where you are, nothing is pressing it down, because you are lifting it up. It's open. There are so many flying creatures, yet they have not beclouded the sun. The top is open. There's no room for everyone to emerge a leader who is willing to pay the price for leadership in his field. There is no field that does not require learning. There is no calling that does not require knowledge. There is no discipline that will ever deliver without the engagement of applied knowledge. So we are all there. Only those who are willing to praise the prize ever get really there. Everybody's potentially there. Every player is a potential star, but not every player becomes a star. The price that each one pays behind the scene is what determines his performance on the stage. Even a football team of 11, there are still star players, and others are support players. They tell you anytime you get the ball, pass it to him. You hear? We can't trust you. Pass it to him. So he's a support player. You had a team years ago with Maradona. He was like the only man in the team, but he wasn't. There were 11 people. But it was a star striker. When the ball reaches his hand, everybody knows that the goal is there. There are others on that team, we don't know their name. How many agree with that? You know, there are some apostles that after Jesus named them, that's the end. How many understand what I'm talking about? After Jesus named them and said, the following are my apostles, that's the end. Not that they died, they were still there. Amen. Maybe some of them were even disciplined by the church. And then they asked them to sit at the back seat. They were still there. Every player is a potential star, but not every player ever emerges a star. It is the price that each one pays that brings out the star in him. And until you pay the star-like price, you never emerge a star. I read something very striking in the story of Yonggi Cho. And he said, in every discipline, he said, research and development is a core requirement. He said, unfortunately, historically, the church has not found a place for research and development, so each one does it the way he thinks it should be done. And that's why no real things get done in most places. You know, the secret of men are in their stories. That means the impact of this man's church ministry is a product of his dedication to a lifestyle of research. Getting the job done. I said humorously, this man fainted 3 times on the altar. To build the largest church in the world, you must faint at least once. Amen. Fainted 3 times. Apart from fainting at the airport, fainting in some funny places.
He was searching. He was reading. He was planning. He just retired recently, I think about 3 months ago. You know, he's still going for early morning prayer anyway. But that was work for you. Read his story. You see the price of topping the list in anything, including church. Can't top the list anywhere without paying the top size price. Have to pay it. If you love the happenings in anything, go for the materials you can lay hold on in that thing, and then you find the secrets there. Nobody will sit down with you any time in your life and tell you details of anything, because there may not be that opportunity forever. But you look for it, and then you find it. Some people are looking for church to grow. They have never read any book on church growth. So all they are using is using common sense to grow a commonplace church in the midst of all common churches. And they all end there. I had a very interesting experience in 1985. I was in a fast virtually throughout the year in quest for a change of status for the church, for the assignment, so I would not disappoint God. It was so intense. That was the year I read virtually all the materials on Paul Yonggi Cho. And by January 1, we were in church, and I felt like a cough. When down there, opened my mouth, the only thing that came out was blood. What was it? I thank God he delivered me. I wasn't as desperate for result as I am, as I was desperate to please him by not disappointing him on the calling he's placed on my life. You never find a story of outstanding success without a story of sacrifice behind it. You cannot emerge the top on your list, on the list in your field, without paying the top size price for it. Whatever that is. The reason why many are not living the tasteful Christian life is because they are not investing in their spiritual life. They have challenges. They are not doing anything in seeking solutions for it. And so the challenges just keep multiplying until it erupts into a major crisis. The good news this morning is this: there's a space for you on top. Can I hear you say, there's a space for me on top? There is a space for me on top. I must get there. There is a space for me on top. There's a place waiting for me on top. 1984, the Lord jumped that into my heart from Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. He said, boy, I have reserved a place for you on top as I have reserved for everybody. Only if you didn't really hearken to what I'm asking you to do and observe to do them, then I'll take you there. You will do what is required, then I will take you there by myself. You can't get yourself there, but until you do what I ask you to do, I won't take you there either. There's a space for you on top. Don't sell off your birthright for a muscle of meat. Don't sell off your birthright for a muscle of meat. Don't sell off your birthright for a muscle of meat. There's a place for you on top. My son asked me yesterday, I need the key to your room. I said, I'm not going anywhere. You know I don't go anywhere. Take the key. I don't have the key to my room. Somebody called me and said, what is the number of your room? I said, I've not checked. Up till I'm talking to you, I don't know the room. There's no way I'm going. I've been coming here for more than 20 years. I don't know anywhere here. What I've come to town to do, I do it and then go back. You can't eat your cake and have it. Sacrifice is the key. As we leave here today, two things I want you to do. Go a hunting for relevant resource materials that will help boost your performance in your field. Go hunting for relevant materials that will boost your performance in your field. Two, create or draw a program. Draw up a program for your personal development through a commitment to studies. And because you can't get there without God, draw also a program for your spiritual development. Because except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that builds it. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, and to be carnally minded is death. There's a man by name James Clerk Maxwell. James Clerk Maxwell was a great scientist of his time. And this man was an avowed student of Jonathan Edwards and other great authors in his time, that his intellect so blossomed supernaturally by virtue of his spiritual engagement. So spirituality is not a burden, it's a plus. Say with me, it's a plus. Spirituality is a plus any day, anytime, anywhere, in any field. Spirituality is a plus. Spirituality is a plus. You know, he said, those who do know what? Their God. What happens? They shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Spirituality is ever a plus. I took my time to be sure most of the biographies I studied are biographies of believers. So I could see the element of the influence of their faith in their results. That helps me. Job was the greatest of all businessmen in his time by access to divine secrets. Say with me, divine secrets. By access to divine secrets. So you need personal development in a quest to accomplishing your goals in your field. You need spiritual development to secure divine backing for extraordinary output. And finally, you need to assess stories of great men in your field. Stories of great men in your field, some of which are accessible on the net, some through their heart. Copies. But you can assess the stories of such men by any means you can get it. It will help to boost your quest for accomplishment. You will locate certain things they had to do in making it work the way it has worked for them. And that will help you go through. Tomorrow, I'll be teaching, among other things, on the role model principle. The role model principle. And we'll be running on that in the morning tomorrow. And then believe in God for the anointing of the King on your life. Can I hear your amen?
Amen?
The anointing of the King on your life. So we'll be having an anointing session in the morning tomorrow. So you can have your own spiritual impartation to excel in the things you have chosen to embark upon. It's going to be a most colorful adventure for you.
Amen.
Can I hear your loudest amen?
Amen?
It's going to be a most colorful adventure for you. I'd like you to go with the things I've recommended and engage yourself in it. You'll be so excited that you do. Life can be pleasurable, fulfilling, accomplishing when you mind those buttons. Those buttons are vital. They get to where you are going. They that walk, somebody said, they walk with many. And they that run with a few. You know, you don't have a tract of 30 people. There are just about 12. On your mark, set, go. But those that fly, fly alone. You have gone with the multitudes enough. It's time to take personal responsibility that will give you access to your personal flight. I think you are long overdue for your personal flight. You see, they don't have to vote you into leadership. You just accomplish it. It's an accomplishment. You don't need any vote. One of the greatest things God told me in 1981, he said, you don't need more than my vote to be anything I've created you to be. So you take responsibility, and I accept my own responsibility to make it happen. Somebody is emerging into another phase here. Amen. If you are that one, let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. Now, therefore, you are either a leader or you are a worker. You cannot be neutral. When Chung was a staff in a relative's company, he didn't need supervision. He was a leader. Hello? And when he became owner of a company, he was carrying the same approach into it and see how it blossomed. Show your leadership by a sense of responsibility where you are creating a future for where you are going. There is no shortcut. I'd like us to start, therefore, not just working to be paid, let's start working to be made. And the skills you acquire in the process of working becomes an asset when greater responsibilities cause on your life in your personal endeavors. That's the way it works. Let all the leaders in the house shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let the stars in the house shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let the ones who have vowed to refuse the status quo shout hallelujah. Let the ones who believe that God is addressing them directly this morning shout hallelujah. Let the ones who will never embark on any venture on a common sense platform, but will go after the required knowledge to make things happen in an extraordinary manner, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you believe this summit is marking the dawn of a new day in your life and in your field, shout hallelujah. As I close, the Lord spoke to me. He said, the words I've committed into your, put into your mouth, he said the same, commit into writing, and I will cause the same unction upon the spoken word to rest upon the written word, bringing about the same effect. Let me recommend with all sense of humility, the materials on the book, on the book stand, they will help transform your spiritual life and make you the kind of man and woman that God intends for you to be. And they address several subjects. And when you get there, you'll be able to see which ones are of utmost need in your life for now. Pick them up and read them as the word of the Lord to you. And they will have the same impact on your life, and you'll be glad that you did. Dignity is God's plan, but discipline is what brings it to pass. You have begged enough. It's time for you to take command. People have seen you as a problem. It's time for you to prove to them you are an asset. People have seen you as a challenge. Now prove to them you are a champion. Now in your church, you must not be seen as a burden anymore, but as a blessing. You must cease to be a prayer project. No, you must be at this point praying for others to be free. And that requires your own time and your own resources. Jesus is Lord. Give Jesus a big hand of praise. Glory to God.
From the stable of the Dominion Publishing House comes over 50 book titles that would certainly change your life for the better. All written and published by Dr. David Oyedepo, the presiding bishop of Winners Chapel Worldwide. To purchase any of Dr. David's books and teaching DVDs, visit our website at dphstore.co.uk or visit us in-store at Winners Chapel London, Unit B1 and B2, Galliwell Trading Estate, Galliwell Road, London SE16 3PB, or call 0207 237 7894 for more information and inquiries.
Jesus said, come to the word of God and you find rest for your soul. You have gone everywhere, but come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Man can only be his best in the center of God's plan. No man can outgrow his need for divine plan.
Welcome to the National Empowerment Summit 2009, holding at the Excel Exhibition Center, London, with Dr. David Oyedepo, the presiding bishop of Winners Chapel Worldwide. Be blessed as you watch.
I phoned Papa last night and I said, it's like I want to begin ministry again. It's like I don't know anything. I said to him last night, please, with open hearts and faith, receive the prophet and specialist of God, Bishop David Oyedepo.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. If you believe that today is your day, shout the loudest hallelujah. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is an instrument of instant intervention. All those signs came to pass in the life of Saul that day. Some strange things will be coming to pass in your life today. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a big hand and take your seat. I'll speak first this morning on the role model principle. The role model principle. The morning sessions in our outreaches are devoted to leadership development. And this is one principle that must be understood and applied for your leadership potentials to have full expressions. You never meet a pilot that trained himself. Every pilot is trained by able pilots. And even after graduating from aviation school, you are still called a first officer. You are not a captain. And you now fly with a captain for a number of hours before you become a captain. So you never meet a high flyer in any area of life who has no mentor. You never come across a professor in any discipline that was not a student of another. Somebody supervised his project, somebody taught him in class, somebody corrected his project, somebody validated his PhD, and somebody has to process his papers before he can become a certified professor. So in every field of life, tutelage and apprenticeship is the order of the day. Tutelage and apprenticeship is the order of the day. And the reason why we have very poor leadership development in our time is that pride has eaten deep into the fabrics of mankind,
that the subject of mentorship looks unnecessary. The subject of tutelage looks unnecessary. In fact, nobody in ministry believes in discipleship. That's why there are very few apostles. Because his disciples are graduating to apostles. Without mentors, you have no ladder. And without a ladder, your access to the top is impossible. I have some steps here that represent a ladder. And if I hate these steps, but I want to be right there on top, I'll be stretching all my life. It's the same height there, so I can come up here. And my intention is because I feel I have enough education. I've accumulated a lot of certificates, and all I want is to get up here. They'll be greeting me, I'll be moving. And you come back 20 years, you still find me here. That's why many are ever at the same spot. Because mentors are the ladders that we climb to the top. Without a mentor, you have no ladder. And without a ladder, your access to the top will remain a daydream. This is so crucial. Many people have been struggling to move. And they are still at the same spot. And they are sweating so bad. And people say, but you said if you walk hard, we are going to fly high. No, you still need the steps. You need the steps on the ladder to climb. Without the steps of the ladder, there is no way to reach the top. All you can reach is 2 steps from the ground by yourself. And then anything from 3rd step, they can't find you there. Without feathers, you have no feathers. And without feathers, you can't fly. So every student pilot has a mentor in school and has a father after graduation, so he can be fathered to fly. So he becomes a first officer and sits by the captain, and the captain shows him what it is to fly outside school, because in school you are finding only one engine, you know, aircraft, and so if you crash, you are the only one that's crashed. But now you are carrying other people, they need to father you to fly effectively and efficiently. This is so important. The role model principle is authored by God. Authored by what? Didn't you hear God saying, "Hearken unto me, all ye that follow after righteousness. Look unto Abraham, your father." I'd like you to understand, God believes in fatherhood. And to Sarah that bear thee, Isaiah 51 verse 1 to 3, I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. That's me at work in Abraham. And for me to walk that way with you, I've placed Abraham over you. For I want to comfort you as I comforted Abraham. I want to turn your wilderness into Eden and your desert into the garden of the Lord, so that joy and gladness only shall be heard in you. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Look unto Abraham, your father. I have fathers for you. You may not like it, but that's your problem. I have fathers for you. Some of us are flying today because of the feathers we develop from our fathers. Amen. You never find an eagle in the sky who has not been fathered by a father eagle and carries him on the back, in training him, and then takes him up in the sky, and then removes his back. And then the baby eagle, wicked, 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 started screaming. And when it's about crashing into water on the rock, the mother eagle comes and picks it up. Well, that's how to become an eagle, right? I'm not going to play with you again. Okay. Then after some time, it comes on the back and takes him up. You see, it is impossible for a baby eagle to become a full eagle without mentorship, without fatherhood. It's impossible. He will crash for nothing. The wings can only develop in the sky, but to be a risk without someone available to pick you up when you have exhausted your strength so you don't crash and go for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 routine exercises to develop your wings so you can be there where you ought to be. There is nothing you are called to do that somebody has not done before. Many have pastors, very few have mentors. You know, pastors will say, there is no exam in church. You may choose to do it and choose not to do it, nobody knows. Some have a big problem calling anybody father in their life. And yet, biologically, you never existed without a father. Just like you all have biological fathers, you need destiny fathers. You need what? You need visionary fathers, the fathers who help you to fulfill your vision. God is the author of the role model principle. And you never play your role well without a role model. A role model is the molder of your performance, is the builder of your capacity. He helps to stretch you so the best in you can come out. Never forget the illustration of the steps. If you ever want to get anywhere, quickly identify a mentor. Quickly identify a mentor. It was Isaac Newton that said, if I had seen any father, it is by standing on the shoulders of those who have gone ahead of me. It's by standing on the shoulders of those who have gone ahead of me. If I have seen any father, it is by standing on the shoulders of those who have gone ahead of me. This is so crucial. This is so vital. That's why there are too many middle class leaders. They can only take two steps by themselves. The third step becomes a problem because it does not have enough stride to cope. That's why they are there. They are there to provide the steps needed to get you to the topmost top. Only disciples will ever qualify to become apostles. Only disciples will ever qualify to become apostles. All the ones that God brought my way, they also followed some fellows to get to where they were. Everybody. Anyone that's not a follower is not worthy to be followed. The role model principle is a missing link today in our leadership development processes. No matter how intelligent you are, without a ladder, your access to the top is impossible. Everybody needs steps on the ladder to the top. Everybody requires steps on the ladder to the top. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? We are in our father's trod, and walk in it, and you shall find what? Rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We are too smart for that. This is a new age. We don't need the old paths that our fathers trod. We have invented new strategies that does not require that. He said, I've set watchmen over you, and I said to you, hearken to the sound of trumpet. He said, we will not hearken. Leave us alone. We have a better way of doing these things than you are talking to us. You are the ancient of days. This is a modern day. He said, behold, I will bring evil upon you. Those who don't regard the steps on the ladder, they become victims and vulnerable to all kinds of things, struggling to rise with all kinds of schemes, but there is no way up. Stand ye in the way and see and ask. People have been there before. How did they get there? Yes, this man I know is there. How did he get there? What are the things that took him there? If I understand the steps he took, then I'll soon be there myself. So, you go after. It's so vital, it's so important for us to know in every calling, there are role models. Come and say role models. There are trailblazers, those who point and show the way to go in making the most of that calling. Whether as persons or as institutions, there are role models. Harvard University, for instance, is the role model for Covenant University. And it's thoroughly Harvardian. One of our top men was up in Europe one time, and they were discussing in a gathering of universities, and he had from the other side of the Atlantic. There is a university to watch in Nigeria. There is one to watch. It's coming with a new model. It's coming with a striking model. And they say it's Covenant University, and so they say, Covenant University, I'm from Nigeria. I'll go to check when I get there. And then this man came, and they called me. They said, there's a man here on campus, and I know him. He's a very well-known person. So he said he would like to see me if I'm available. So I said, when he came, he said, I don't want to say anything, just to say thank you for giving our country a new identity. Now, in 7 years, in how many years? Now, old universities that are 50 years old and 55 years old come to Covenant University now for some training. For their Center for Learning Resources, their library, they come to learn the new system from Covenant University in 7 years. You see, you are limited and grossly limited without role models. Role models are facilitators of destiny. They help you achieve what years of struggle may never bring to pass. When I went after Harvard University, they were 366 years old. And I went so much into it that I could reel out the very founding of Harvard University for 300 years without opening any book. And when I injected the Harvard vaccine into the founding of Covenant University, it began to reflect Harvard results. Any gathering of university systems around the world today, and I stand there to speak, I speak as an authority. They are running the ones already funded. We just found one. And is heavily competing with them. Why? Because of an identification of a role model in the pursuit of that vision. John Harvard, the founder of Harvard University, when we get to heaven, we talk. I say, you tried, you did well, but we beat you when we came on. Because where Harvard was 100 years after they took off, that's where we are now 7 years after. I'm conversant with the developmental story. That's what role models do in facilitating your adventure in life. And when you don't have regard for role models, you are stranded, you are humiliated, you are frustrated, and you just keep struggling. My role models in ministry don't borrow. So I don't have a heritage of borrowing. By believing in their stories and the realities of the adventure. Yes, I found it in the world, but I saw it in people. And seeing it in people, for that enforced what I found in the world. If they were borrowers, what I found in the world may become doubtful. That if these great ones are borrowing, then I'm in trouble. This may not be true after all, maybe for some time and for some occasions. And now by following in the steps of those giants, I found myself just experiencing their kind of experience. And don't tell me they're not boring because they're not doing something outstanding. Well, you check and see how outstanding what we are doing is. Maybe there are not equals around the world in terms of volume and tempo of spendings without beggings. There is nothing more exciting than following proven steps. Say with me, proven steps. Yeah. Every new discovery begins as an hypothesis. When it has a wider range of application and validation, it becomes a theory. When it has a universal application, it becomes a law. Now, you see, there are things people have found, they prove it in their lives, they gave it to others, it was tested to be correct, and then the range got wider, and so it became a law like the law of gravity, applicable universally. Then wisdom demands you plug in. Have you ever met a sports star without a coach? No. The star in every sportsman only comes alive by the input of a coach. Every sportsman has a coach. Even when they become stars, to retain their stars, they require the services of a personal coach that they pay personally heavily to keep them going. Without a coach, there are days you may not feel like having a workout, but a coach has a job for which he's paid. So he walks you out to keep you alive in your field. You never find a professor who was not once a student. You never meet a high flyer who has no mentor. It is only committed followers that become great leaders. That's why every leader of worth belongs to a well-defined school of thought. Someone said, so-so said, so-so said, so-so did. That's how the star in him came to light. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. He said, and be ye not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Be ye not slothful. No lazy man can follow the footsteps of a giant. No lazy man can follow the footsteps of a giant. and be ye not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't be slothful. It's no cheap talk, it's hard work. Don't be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience obtain the promises. Matthew, bring that note. Who through faith and patience, bring it here. Save your energy. Amen. You know, there's energy crisis in town. The whole world is seeking renewable energy. So energy should be well conserved and stored. Wherever you can save energy, please do. Instead of Matthew running around this way, like an Israelite, can give it to me here and then you'll be okay. Praise the Lord. Be ye not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. I told you the story of a young man yesterday, the Kim Chun, founder of Daewoo Corporation. He said, I am busy. And I must admit that I'm a very happy being. I'm very happy being busy with so much work. So happy that some people have said, I have gone mad over work. Hello? Since I started to work, I hope Londoners won't kill me here, I have never taken a day off. This is a story of 30 years adventure of setting up the Daewoo Corporation. And I do not recall ever having even gone to the beach with my family. Yet, I have no regrets. Now, this corporation began with $10,000 and grew over 30 years to be one of the greatest corporations on earth. As at 1997, was greater than Coca-Cola and IBM with $81 billion annual turnover. $81 billion with 3,500 products on their manufacturing line, including aircraft spare parts. That's not a cheap step to follow. You think it is? To take your only begotten son and carry it to the altar, is that a cheap step to follow? And then to trek 3 days at that age to be looking for where you will kill your son, the punishment was too much. You have to trek 3 days climbing mountains. So you two have a right to die even on the way. And then you have to go there and you have to kill your son in order to have someone to help you kill him. You think it's a cheap step? That's why no lazy man can follow the footsteps of a giant. That's why there are few giants.